You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If you are in Chicago tomorrow, come see Matt and I at the Dog Pound Browns Backers Bash for a live edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, 12 to 2 Central Time at Red Ivy on North Clark Street. We will be there. There'll be food, giveaways, contests, etc. More.
Drinks.
All your Browns fans are going to be there fired up. Wear your Browns gear. Matt and I will be wearing very large T-shirts.
Yes. Representing the Dog Pound.
Largely.
We will be barking together in a large way.
That was maybe the best thing you've ever said.
It's
up there.
It is.
Pretty good.
Top five.
That was great messaging. It was tremendous messaging and branding. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines right now. 216-578-0850. We are going to go right now to Corey in Syracuse. Corey, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? Love the show. I just wanted to give my thoughts on tomorrow's draft. I agree with you guys that mortgaging the future for Mariota isn't worth it, and I think that we need to get playmakers for our quarterbacks, and we passed on the likes of Julio Jones and last year with Sammy Watkins. What would you guys think about the report that came out earlier that the Browns are thinking about trading up to number 5 slot to grab an Amari Cooper or a Kevin White?
See, I would rather see what you can do. I would rather see what you can do at 12, or I think some of the receivers you get at 19. I don't want to trade up for those guys. Now, if they wanted to trade up to 5 for Leonard Williams because they think that he is that much of a disruptor on the defensive line, I'm fine with it. I think the difference between a Devontae Parker or the upside of a Rashad Perriman is not that far away from an Amari Cooper.
No, it's not. That all being said is, I mean, if you want to talk scenarios to get to 5, would it take 12 and 19 to get to 5? Or could you do like 12 and 43, get to 5 and keep 19?
I don't know. I think that'll be tough. That'll be very tough.
Because if that's the case, if I get to 5, I'm getting an immediate starter at 5 and a long-term fix at whatever position you go, whether it be wide receiver or Leonard Williams at D-line, and still have 19 as that luxury pick to get another potential starter in the realm of what we need to get fixed here in Cleveland, whether it be wide receiver, pass rusher, so on and so forth.
Let's go. 216-578-0850. Katie in Brunswick. What's up, Katie?
Hey, loving the draft coverage, and as far as the draft is concerned, I am not buying. We've done it too many times, and frankly, the pool is shallow this year. Why dive in head first? Go after some other positions we need. Get us a D-back. Get us a running back. Do some building. We're still going to end up needing to use McCown, even if we get Mariota. So give Manziel a chance, much as a lot of people are having a struggle with that. Take a shot, see what's there, and move on from there. If it was a bad choice, why make 2 in a row?
I agree. I want to stay there. I think you have an opportunity to add players. Katie, thank you so much for the call.
And that's the just listening to the really big show as I drove in today. They had Trey Wingo on from ESPN, and he said something very similarly. If you go quarterback, back-to-back in the first round by selecting Marcus Mariota, what you're doing as an organization and Ray Farmer, Jimmy Haslam, and whoever had their input going into last year's draft, you are self-admittedly letting everyone know that you made a mistake drafting Johnny Manziel and that his future here in Cleveland is bleak. And that's not something I don't think that has come so far in 1 year for an organization to do. And the strides that we've made, you know, winning the 7 games, trending upward, being a place players want to come in free agency and be drafted to admit that about a first-round pick.
And I just think it's too early to do it. I think it is way too early to do it. It just seems to me, right, that you drafted him last year. You really didn't see him play.
Nope.
And granted, he did not do the things that he is supposed to be able to do, but he's got himself in the offseason into rehab. Let's see if he's a different guy before we go giving up that much. My opinion.
Correct. And Trey Wingo's opinion was, and he made this as a reference point about Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, which a lot of people make about a draft class, is let's wait 3 years and see how these guys look in 3 years. You know, with a couple of years of starting under their belt, have they raised the franchise? Have they trended them upwards as a franchise? And so on and so forth. But yeah, we're oh so critical of Johnny Manziel because of the way he fell flat on his face last year and where he spent his offseason in treatment with his problems. So let's let Johnny show us, you know, with his actions. As he has said, and especially on the football field before we pass any more judgment. And let's look back in 3 year, you know, at the 3 year mark, and then at that point move forward.
216-578-0850. Now, you can get yourself in trouble by sticking with a quarterback from the first round too long. But I don't think the Browns have got in any way, shape, or form the time to properly evaluate Johnny Manziel. Now, if Mariota falls to them at 12, take Mariota.
Yeah.
Get another quarterback in here. But in terms of giving up 12, 19, and whatever else you have to give up, I'm not sure
that's
the way to go. Carleek in Cleveland, what's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing, man?
You know, I love your show, and I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you taking my call. I've sat here for like the last 2 days listening to various and sundry callers and procrastinators talking about packaging up our draft picks and going up to get this gentleman from Oregon. I guess he played at.
Yes.
Now, I'm a grandfather seven times over, but I remember something that my grandfather told us. He said that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Now, did anybody besides myself watch that national football championship game that he played against the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Yes, I did. I was tuned in.
That man did not look to me in any shape, form, or fashion to be worthy of us bundling up two draft picks or whatever they're talking about to go and get him. He just doesn't seem like, I won't say he doesn't seem like it. He doesn't have it. So I would say no to all of that talk.
Again, I think that he is a project to the NFL, and we'll talk with – we've got three people coming on today who can also shed light on that in terms of scouts, former players, et cetera. I think that it is a projection with Mariota, and that's why it's very difficult to say you want to give up so much for him, in my opinion. Teddy Bridgewater was not a projection to me. If you want to give up that, by the way, call Minnesota and be like, do you want 12-19? If you're going to give up 12-19 in a future first for Mariota, how about calling Minnesota and saying – hey, we'll give you that for Teddy.
Rick Spielman talked about it yesterday. They sit at 11. He's not in love with anybody that might fall in his lap at 11, so he's wanting to move back. They have 7 picks. He'd love to get to 10. So Minnesota might be in play.
I don't
want to create that pipe dream for you.
It would never happen. It's 0% chance of happening. Let's go to Larry in Cleveland now. Larry, what's going on?
How y'all guys doing today?
Good, Larry.
Okay, for me, you had a chance to take Bridgewater last year.
Yep.
And you're going to end up taking Manziel, which, you know, I don't know if he's a bust or not, but the jury's still out on him. But I'm not giving 12 and 19 for Mariota. I hate to say it.
I agree
with you.
That's
a great take.
I agree
with
you.
We do as well.
All right. We've got a special guest now calling us, Mike in Montana. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing good. Mike, for the fans listening of the show, Mike is the father of Nick Batista, who works in the sales department here, is a fine man, a member of the GCC in Cleveland. And he tells me your nickname is the Bandit.
That's my old football baseball name, but I think it applies.
The Bandit Batista. Well, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I've been looking at every mock draft, and I think I've read all 500 of them. And the thing that jumps out to me and that I'm somewhat intrigued about, it's been talked about a little bit in some of the mock drafts, but I like Phillip Rivers. I don't know what it would take for the Browns to get Phillip Rivers. When there's been discussions about Sam Bradford and Phillip's two veteran quarterbacks, I would tend to like Phillip Rivers. He brings that sort of fire, that passion, that play like a Brown that I think the Cleveland Browns administration is looking for. He's an experienced quarterback, obviously. He's not afraid to get in guys' faces to get them to play better.
No question.
I think the dog pound would embrace him. I don't know what it would take to get him, but I think the Browns start on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL draft, get a good run stopper. Their defense looked really good when I saw them play last year, but you can't keep them on the field all day. So they need some offensive weapons, and I think sort of what I've been reading about going after a number one receiver makes sense.
Yep.
You pair a number one receiver with a veteran like somebody like Phillip Rivers, if you're able to get him, and you give time for Johnny or Mariota if he falls at a decent pick to gain some experience. And I think they're right when people say they're both projects. I think they are. So I think you give time for Johnny to develop, and you bring in somebody that can get the Browns moving. It's a good organization.
I agree. It is a good organization, and the Browns have an opportunity to take a big step forward. And we've been told by those members of the Gentleman Cigar Club of Cleveland that Mike in Montana, a.k.a. the Bandit Batista, will be making a trip to Cleveland for the August smoke of the GCC.
Wow.
In CLE. So put that on your calendar, Wilhelm.
I will right now.
Put it on your calendar. All right, let's get Pumpkinhead in here. What's up, Pumpkinhead?
How are you?
Good man. How are you?
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm all for them trading up whatever they got to do to get the quarterback that they want, because in my opinion, nothing else matters until you get that quarterback. If it's trading for Rivers, if it's trading up for Mariota, whatever it is, do it. Because here's the bottom line. If it doesn't succeed, next year you'll be picking at the top of the draft anyways, so go ahead and get Cardell. Nothing else matters till you guys get the quarterback. Go Browns, guys.
Go Browns. Thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate that. When we come back, we're going to get into a scout's take on this. How sure of a thing does he believe Marcus Mariota is? Is he worth mortgaging the future? Eric Galko, the owner and editor of Optimum Scouting, will be calling in. He's also lead draft writer for the Sporting News. He's calling in at 1:30 right after this.
We'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.